Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 20 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we took the podcast on the road today. In a little while, we're going to be talking to former Ankeny Centennial softball star Kendall Lindemann. We're up here in the Twin Cities, and right now we're going to visit with our first guest. She's a former track and cross-country standout at Centennial. She also starred on the Jaguar state champion soccer team this last summer, and she's now in her first season on the University of Minnesota soccer team. It's Megan Gray. Megan, great to see you. How you doing?
Good. Nice to be here.
You bet. Well, you've played in all 16 games for the Gophers this year, and currently you guys are 8-7-1 overall and 4-4-1 in the Big Ten. You know, are you pretty happy with how the season's going this far?
Yeah, I think as a freshman, it's always nice to get introduced to some good teams in the Big Ten. We've played against Indiana and Wisconsin recently, which games are games that I think we should have won, but we ended up losing. But I really like the Gopher atmosphere here, and I'm really excited for the next 3 years.
Well, I know you've contributed two goals and two assists thus far. You scored your first collegiate goal in dramatic fashion on August 24th when you scored the game winner in double overtime to beat Ole Miss. That must have been a pretty exciting moment for you.
Yeah. April Bakken was the forward who kind of hit it off the crossbar, and I was just kind of there to finish it up. And, you know, in the moment, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal until I turned around and saw all my teammates and, like, the fans. And then I realized that it was awesome to get that as my first goal. So.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome. Well, your team is coming off a tough 3-2 loss to number 23 Wisconsin on Saturday. That one was kind of a heartbreaker, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wisconsin's always a good team. And we went up 1-0, and we were up 1-0 at halftime as well. And they came out very strong in the second half, got a 2-1 lead, and then I was able to assist April Bakken to get it to be 2-2, and then April had a really good opportunity at the end of the game, and then it led to a corner kick, and they kind of counted on the corner and got a really nice shot to win. So,
well, you've mentioned April Bakken a couple times, and I know she's scored 8 of your team's 23 goals this year. So is she the first person that you kind of look for when you're attacking the goal?
Yeah. I mean, I look for her, and then I look for the midfield a lot. I really trust everyone on the team, and I look to April for not only like soccer advice but also life advice. She's always kind of there to mentor me, so it's really nice, especially as a freshman, to have someone to look up to and talk to about stuff.
Sure. Well, your team has just 2 games left in the regular season. You're going to host Iowa on Thursday night before traveling to Penn State on Sunday. And I imagine you're really looking forward to that Iowa game since you'll have a chance to play against Riley Whitaker.
Yeah. We were actually talking today about it, and we're actually tied right now for 7th in the Big Ten. So it's kind of like it'll be very competitive, but it'll also be nice to play against her since I grew up playing with her. So it'll be a change.
Well, she's having a good season too, isn't she?
Yeah. She's started a lot of their games, so that's really exciting. And I'm very proud of her, and it's nice because we keep in touch a lot, so we're able to, like, kind of talk about each other's successes and just catch up.
Well, you mentioned that you guys are tied for 7th place in the Big Ten, and you guys are fighting for seeding purposes, you know, in the conference tournament that's coming up. So, obviously, you need a win to get into the tournament, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we have to take these last 2 games very seriously. We've had a lot of great games, and I kind of know our capability based on our past games, so being able to get these wins is huge for us moving on.
Well, we talked about Riley there earlier, and of course it was just about 4 months ago that your Centennial team defeated Riley's Ankeny squad 3-2 to win the Class 3A state title. Does that game seem like it was a long time ago now?
Yeah, I've actually gone back and watched it a few times just because, you know, I miss my high school friends and kind of the soccer there. And it's quite a difference moving from high school soccer to here and just being able to, like, kind of replay that in my mind and know that we accomplished a lot in high school kind of motivates me here as well.
Well, you had a goal and an assist in that game, and you were named to the all-tournament team. Now, if you've watched the game recently on replay, maybe something kind of sticks out in your mind. But what do you remember most about that day?
I think I remember actually my assist to Kenzie Geiger. I actually started crying when she scored because I was really happy. So just being able to, like, kind of look back on those, and then that kind of motivates me to get in touch with the players on my team and check in on them and just realize that a lot of the friendships I made through soccer and track and everything will be withheld through everything.
Well, then you didn't have much time, you know, before you headed off to Minnesota to begin your collegiate career. You know, what was the biggest adjustment for you going from playing in the CIML to the Big Ten?
Well, at first we kind of had we had the captain's practice at the beginning of the summer, and I wasn't at that point, I wasn't quite introduced to the Big Ten play yet, but I was introduced to like the level here. And you kind of, one thing I've learned through my few months here so far is I really have a problem with overthinking things. So like when I make a mistake, I kind of reflect really hard on that and I try to learn from that. So I've learned to like kind of let my mistakes go and just play because I feel like that's when I'm at my best and just having fun and being able to play with some of the greatest players. So.
Well, obviously you're not, you know, the biggest kid coming into the Big Ten. I had heard that, you know, college soccer is a lot more physical. Mm-hmm. Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah, I actually had an individual meeting with my coaches and they had asked me to, if I could try to gain some weight or muscle. And I actually have gained some weight since I've been here, just muscle. And I've changed my diet a little bit. So trying to adapt to kind of the physical challenges is what I've been working on. So.
Well, I know you're listed as a midfielder on the roster. Now, is that where you've spent most of your playing time, you know, this year?
They wanted me to try defender, and then I got moved to forward in our second game, and I've just been playing outside forward since then. So,
you've obviously shown that you can play just about anywhere, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I tried defender, and then I got put in the midfield a little bit, and then I kind of stuck with outside forward, and it's been really nice because there's three freshmen. It's me and then two other freshmen, one from Minnesota and one from Virginia. And we don't challenge each other for spots, but we kind of compete with each other. Just being able to have April as a mentor for all three of us is really special.
Well, obviously your team will have a different look, you know, next season after April graduates. You know, do you think your role might change?
Yeah, I think April is our goal scorer right now, you could say. So I think, us freshmen, sophomores next year, we'll have to step up in kind of that role and be able to finish some opportunities for the team. So.
All right. Well, I know one of the biggest reasons why you chose to come to Minnesota was for academic opportunities. Now, I think you're majoring in kinesiology and nutrition, right?
Yep. I actually came into college with 30 credits, so I'm looking to double major now in kinesiology and sports management. So.
Oh, okay. So what are your long-term career goals in that field then?
My ultimate goal is to become a physical therapist, and I think that's just because of my ACL. Like, I've made a lot of great relationships with people from Engineered Performance and even Pete at Ankeny Centennial. It just kind of motivated me, and I want to have that impact on someone else as they did for me. So,
now, is that something that you wanted to do before you had your knee injury, or is that something you thought about after you went through that?
I think I wanted to do it before my knee injury, but then like tearing my ACL just kind of solidified that career path that I wanted to take.
Now, how's everything going with your knee? Is it holding up okay?
Yeah, it actually is really well. I had to wear a brace a little bit here because I was having some pain, but I just got rid of it a few games ago, and it's been going very well so far.
Well, that's great. Well, just a few other things I wanted to ask you about. I'm sure you've been following the Centennial football team this fall.
Uh-huh.
Your little brother's having a pretty good year, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm proud of him. I heard he goes in for a few plays a game for quarterback, and then he's playing corner as well, and he's got a few interceptions. So I'm really proud of him. I wish, obviously, I could make it to the game, but it's not working with my schedule.
Well, maybe if they make it to the Dome here in a few weeks, they'll get a chance to get down there. So, well, I know your whole family, you know, including Keaton, have been up here to see some of your mm-hmm. games. You know, what does that mean to have the support of your whole family?
I know it's really hard. I've had some friends come up here too, and I know it's hard to make time, miss work, stuff like that, to get everyone to come up here. But it's really nice to have them come up here and watch me do what I love and like kind of watch my successes here. So I really appreciate the time I get to spend with them because I value family a lot. So.
Now, did you go to that Iowa-Minnesota football game a couple weekends ago?
I did not. We were actually away for soccer, and it was homecoming, so it was kind of hard because I had friends come up here for the game too, so I kind of would have got to see them. But I watched it on TV. So.
Well, your old classmate, Riley Moss, had a good game, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. I saw two interceptions and then Big Ten Freshman of the Week, so really proud of him too.
Well, now I know you've only been living up here, you know, for a few months, but how closely do you follow the pro sports scene up here?
I don't really follow it a lot. I don't really have time to watch TV, but I have been to a Loons game before, which is really interesting. They actually play at TCF Bank, so if I have time, I'll try to make it to one of those games.
All right. Well, the big story up here, you know, lately has been the Jimmy Butler saga. Have you followed that at all?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, one of the Timberwolves players was kind of demanding a trade, and it's been going on for a few weeks, and they said maybe they're going to trade him, but they haven't done it yet, and he's not real happy about it, and he threw a fit at practice one day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they open their season tonight, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
But, obviously, tomorrow night you guys will be playing Iowa. What do you think is going to be the key to winning that game?
I think just coming out with high intensity. I know a lot of our team talks about our energy throughout the game and just playing gopher soccer. We have this mantra this season. It's called Every Moment, and it's the E is actually a 3. So It's trust, believe, and compete. So if we just follow kind of our game plan, I think we'll be fine.
All right, Megan, well, I know you got to head off to practice, so I'm going to cut you loose, but thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate
it. Sounds good. Thanks for coming.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. All right, well, right now we want to bring in our second guest. She is a two-time All-American and a two-time Big Ten Player of the Year for the Minnesota softball team. She also holds the Iowa High School all-time home run record with 71. Of course, I'm talking about Kendall Lindemann. Kendall, it's great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, first thing I got to ask you, you're sitting here with a big brace on your knee, so what's going on there?
First day of practice, I tore my meniscus, had surgery about 4 days later, so I've actually been out this whole fall season and basically haven't practiced at all this year.
Well, that's not good.
No.
What's the prognosis? Will you be able to come back okay next spring?
Yeah, I'll be good for this year. I'm planning on playing the first game. It's just kind of a waiting game, and I should be hitting, but it's all about to see if I can get my motion back to catch.
Sure. So how did you tear it?
I was blocking, and I kind of just felt it pop, and immediately I knew something was wrong.
Hmm. Have you ever had any kind of an injury like that before?
No. I've had injuries here and there, but nothing as big as this. Never had surgery before, so it's definitely a learning experience. It's something new I've never really dealt with, so it's really different this year than in past years.
Well, obviously your main season is in the spring, so I guess if you're going to get hurt, you'd rather get hurt in the fall than the spring, right?
Yeah, I've said, you know, I don't think it could have been better timing. I think it was just kind of ready to tear, honestly, and I guess might as well be the first day of practice, so I have all fall and winter to heal back and, you know, get back out there.
Because normally in the fall season, I know you guys play like a limited schedule, but isn't the whole purpose of the fall schedule just to kind of fine-tune some things and stay in shape?
Yeah, and it's just kind of fun to see everyone out there. You know, you have never seen the transfers and the freshmen before. It's just fun to not practice for once, just get out there and play a game. And it is to fine-tune things, but it's, you know, it was kind of hard, you know, missing those games and just being on the sidelines, just kind of watching.
Now, is there anything specific this fall that maybe you were hoping to work on that obviously you didn't get a chance to then because of the injury? But
oh, yeah. There's little things here and there that, you know, I always want to work on. Getting a new hitting coach, there's several – it's a different hitting style. I love what she's teaching, and, you know, I really wanted to get out there and kind of show her what I could do and learn from her. So it's kind of hard just being able to just watch. But like I said, I'm still learning, you know, just watching my teammates, seeing what they need to work on, kind of – just comparing it to my swing and what I need to work on.
We've certainly had a great collegiate career up to this point. You know, I don't think anyone from Ankeny is surprised by that. But, you know, out there might be a little bit of an adjustment period for you coming in as a freshman. You know, were you surprised at all by how quickly the success came for you?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. College is very different than high school. Everyone's just way better than everyone that was in high school. It was definitely a learning experience, but I had my upperclassmen and my teammates there to kind of just guide me through it and teach me the ways and just give me little tricks here and there just to kind of help me. But, you know, I wasn't scared. I just went out there, and it's still the same game. And that was kind of my mentality, just go out there and, you know, do what you can do, play your hardest, and see what happens.
Well, certainly worked out for you. You know, coming in as a freshman, I imagine opposing teams maybe didn't know how to pitch to you at first. You know, do you think maybe that gave you a little bit of an advantage there right away?
I definitely do. Them not knowing anything, they're just trying to, you know, pitch right at me, you know, see what I couldn't do. But I definitely think sophomore year, that's the hardest year. I definitely think it's hard because people have stats on you and they know what to throw you. And it was kind of a big change for me freshman year to sophomore year than it was senior year in high school to freshman year, because they have stats on you. They know what you can and can't do. But, you know, I just kind of worked through it and kind of got the hang of it, kind of realized what they were doing and what they were trying to do against me. Got better at the things I needed to work on, and I think that really helped.
Well, you set the school record with 20 home runs as a freshman, and then you were able to match that total, you know, last year. And once you started, you know, having that success at the plate, and teams had faced you before, you know, how did they try to pitch to you then? Was there like, did you notice a pattern of how they were trying to throw to you?
Yeah, there's patterns for each team. It just depends on the pitcher too. If she's likes to keep it low, it just really depends on the pitcher. If she's a changeup pitcher, if she's up and down, left and right. But after a while, I just try to make my weaknesses my strengths and just keep working on my strengths. And I think that really helped me, you know, just working in the off season every day, you know, getting better at the little things, just so I didn't have those weaknesses that everyone knew about and that they could just attack every time.
Well, last year, I see you led the Big Ten in walks and you ranked fifth in the NCAA. You walked almost once a game. So many of the teams clearly decided just to pitch around you, huh?
Yeah. Kind of similar to high school. They just pitched around me, but you always got to be ready. I think in high school, a lot of times it was just intentional walks, and I knew I'd go up to the plate and I really didn't have to look for anything. But now them pitching around you, they're still trying to get you out. But it's just, I need to focus on not expanding my zone and just finding the pitch that I want, because they want you to expand their zone. That's their whole intent. But, you know, that's just something I've been working on, is just finding my zone and sticking with it.
I don't know how much of the baseball playoffs you've been watching, but, you know, one of the latest crazes in baseball is that, you know, you see all these defensive shifts. Now, do you see much of that in the college softball game, where like they put three infielders on one side or the other for a certain hitter?
Yeah, not really. You really don't see that. I've seen it maybe once, but honestly, it was never against me. What they really do for me is just play me up the middle or play me more to the left side, because I like to pull the ball. But you really don't see a shift like they do in baseball. And, you know, you've seen a lot of that in the playoffs so far. But in softball, no, they just kind of play you straight up. I mean, they may play me deeper than other players because I'm not one to bunt. But that's just, you know, in and back. That's pretty much all they do.
Sure. Well, if teams know that you like to pull the ball, then do you see a lot more pitches on the outside, you think?
I did see a lot of pitches on the outside, but like I said, I was working. That was one of my weaknesses, and I really worked hard on it, taking it to the opposite side of the field. And then after a while, they couldn't do that anymore. You know, they couldn't shift all or move up the line and move their shortstop in the 5-6 hole. You know, they just had to play me straight up. And I think that's something I'm really happy about, is just like kind of working on my weaknesses and seeing improvements last year.
Well, one of your highlights last season came when you guys swept a series over there at Iowa. You went 7-for-11 on the weekend with two home runs, and one of those home runs came off of Allison Ducey, the former Ankeny pitcher. You know, that must have been a fun weekend for you.
It was. You know, it's always great going back home in Iowa. I actually think having so many Iowa girls on our team, I think we actually had almost more fans than they did.
Oh, wow.
So there really wasn't a home field advantage for them, but it's fun just, you know, growing up around Allison and even some other players on the Iowa team. You know, I know several of them, just kind of seeing their successes and just being able to face them just once again.
Well, even though you got the best of Allison that weekend, she had a very good year for the Hawkeyes. Have you seen a lot of improvement, you know, from her since the high school days?
I have. You know, like you said, she's been doing great. And even her sophomore year, I think she did even better than her freshman year. She's attacking hitters. She's getting them off balance. And, you know, she's really just getting them to pop up or even just strike out on her rise ball. I really think that's her pitch that she's worked on very well. And it's great just seeing success come, not only come out of Iowa, but come from, you know, my hometown as well.
Well, in your freshman year, the Gophers had a great year. You guys went 56-5, but that was before your head coach, Jessica Allister, left to become the head coach at Stanford, which is her alma mater. So then she was replaced by former Iowa State coach Jamie Traxel, and she guided you guys to a 41-17 record last year. Was that a pretty smooth transition for you guys?
No, not really. I'm going to be honest. It was really tough. Just different views, not just views on softball, but different types of coaching styles. You know, we were really upset. Our coach leaving kind of right before we were about to go back for school again. That was really tough on us, and I think it took us a while to get over that. But just seeing improvements from last year to this year on how, like, we understand Jamie's coaching style better. We understand what she wants from us, because everything's completely different. Even if their coaching styles were the same, they're different people. So even she says transition's hard. It was hard for her. It was hard for us. But, you know, we got through that, and I think we're just stronger as a team now. I think our team's been hit with so many different things, including a coaching change, that it just makes us stronger, like, on and off the field, and it just makes our team closer.
Well, you guys still had a good year, though, because now you've won three straight Big Ten tournament titles, and you've been to the NCAA tournament six straight years. You know, I imagine you have some pretty high expectations again for the upcoming season.
Oh, I do. And, you know, we have great talent on this team so far. It's just a matter of putting it all together and getting the right people in the right places. But I'm definitely excited for this year. We have the same pitchers coming back. Who won us that Big Ten tournament last year. We have a lot of experience, I feel, this year, even though we do have a lot of newcomers. I just feel like everyone's more experienced and just understands, like, what we expect from them and what's going to happen once you get into that postseason.
Well, you mentioned the Iowans that you have on your team, and one of those pitchers is Rachel Lowry, right?
Mm-hmm.
The former Dallas Senator Grimes star. Do you enjoy catching her?
I do. She's a great person, very fun to catch, and just has so much talent. I know she didn't get that many starts last year, or any starts, but didn't get much time, but she's someone just to look out for. She's just working very hard every single day, and it's really exciting to see where she started to where she is now.
Yeah, she comes from a pretty talented family. I played basketball with her dad way back in the day, and obviously her older sister was a great pitcher in her own right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, last winter you got a chance to go to Florida for the USA softball women's national team selection camp. You know, what did you learn from that experience?
Man, that was a great experience. Probably one of the toughest things I've ever had to do, just not only playing against the best pitchers in the country, but in the world. And just playing against the best players, hitting off the best pitchers. Although it only lasted half a week due to like rain and weather, because half of it got canceled. But just there was so many things I learned, because I was one of the youngest players there, and just learning little things that other catchers do, because they are at that higher level. They're playing in the pros. They understand more about the game than I do, you know. It was just really interesting seeing kind of their different types of styles of hitting and catching, and even just fielding, and just kind of seeing their competitiveness. You know, it was tough because it's just you there. There's no one there cheering for you. Everyone's fighting for a spot. So you just really had to dig deep and just play your game.
Now, if you had made the team, you would have played in the World Cup of Softball and some other select events. It also might have given you, you know, an inside track to a spot on the USA Olympic team in 2020. You know, do you still feel like there's a way for you to potentially make that Olympic team?
I do. I think it'll be really tough, and there's a lot of things I need to work on. But I do feel that there still is a chance for me, and that's always going to be my goal. And if I don't make it that year, I mean, I'm still young. I can still go after it, and that's always been my dream, and that's something I don't think I'll ever give up on.
And you mentioned some of those girls that play professionally. So is that something you want to do too down the road, is play professionally?
Definitely. You know, if I get the opportunity to play professionally, I just want to do it, see what I can gain from it. And even like what Paige is kind of doing to play overseas, you know, that's something I think would be very fun to do, and just, you know, see where it can take me, not only like on my skill set, just like mentally and physically where it can take me.
Sure. Well, just a few other things I wanted to ask you about. You've obviously become, you know, somewhat of a household name here in the Twin Cities. You know, do you get recognized very often when you go out in public?
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, more in the Dingytown area and just kind of on campus, people are like, yeah, you know, I've heard of you. And even just players or from other sports that I've never met before, they're like, yeah, I've heard of you. But it's really cool because all the athletes here, it's like a family. You know, you hear of people and then you put a face to the name, and it's just really cool. Everyone's super nice here. And all they want to do is come up and just say hi, you know, and nothing else. You know, they feel honored that they live in the state that has these great athletes and these great sports that they can follow. And we have great fans here, so it's awesome to live here.
Now, you said Dinkytown. That's the second time I've heard that today, and I don't know what that means. So what's that refer to?
So that's just kind of the area we're in right now, just like over all the fast food chains that are right over there.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of like where all the food areas and where everyone likes to – I mean, there's just stuff to do in Dinkytown,
sure.
You know.
Well, who would you say is the biggest sports celebrity in the Twin Cities? Do you think maybe it's like Joe Mauer?
I do, and it was really cool. I actually watched his last game, not in person, but on TV. You just kind of hear that name thrown around all the time. But he's a great person as well, as you can see, just like all the fans on social media. And just even in person, I'd go to class and he'd be like, oh, that was his last game. And I'm not sure if it is, but it could be. But it's cool just living in a city where there's these amazing athletes just like down the street. And I get to go, you know, watch those games and just experience what they're experiencing.
Well, they certainly treated that last game that he played in like it was going to be his last game. So, yeah, it kind of looks like he's going to retire. But I thought maybe he was going to come back for another year. What do you think he'll do?
I don't know. I think it's definitely something he's going to talk with his family about, obviously. But, you know, it'd be great to see him just one last season, just so, you know, he lets everyone know, like, this is the last one, so everyone can kind of prepare for it.
Sure. Well, I'm a big Twins fan. I try to get up here for at least, you know, one game a year. And I was surprised when Paul Molitor was let go as the manager. You know, did that surprise you too?
Yeah, it did a little bit, but I think the Twins just, you know, everyone wants to win the World Series. I think they kind of just want to go in a new direction and see what happens. You know, after a while, if you're not seeing the results, sometimes you do just have to let someone go.
Well, you mentioned all the pro athletes up here. There's always a lot going on with the colleges too. And next spring, you guys will be hosting the Final Four. I know I'm planning to come up here for that as well. So that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I know there's a lot of events. We even have volleyball regionals are here, or the Final Four is here. And it's something like me and my teammates are like, yeah, we're going to go to that. You know, we don't care unless we have softball, of course. But it's just really cool to have all these events. We had the Super Bowl last year. Although I didn't go to it all, everyone was just around town, and it was crazy seeing all the people who traveled across the country just to see these sporting events.
Well, the last thing I want to ask about, you know, we started with talking about your knee. So how is that rehab process going for you?
It's going good. You know, they're throwing every single resource they have at me. And, you know, I feel so much support here, not only from my teammates, from my coaches, from my family back home, and even from our strength staff. You know, I'm doing everything I can to get back as fast as I can, but you know, it's a slow process. It's got to heal. It is surgery, so it takes a toll on your body, but I'm seeing a lot of results already that have kind of surprised me, and I think they've kind of surprised the people around me, and it just makes me excited to get back.
Well, there's been some other athletes from Ankeny who've gone through some similar things, like Maddie Manning, Corey Myers, of, you know, they did their ACLs with their knees. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to lean on other people that have been through the same thing?
Yeah, there's even people on my team that have gone through ACL surgery, even just like a torn labrum in their arm. You know, a surgery is a surgery. Although it's different recovery times, they just kind of understand physically and mentally what you're going through. And I've just been able to lean on my teammates, and they've always been there for me, which is really helpful.
All right, Kendall, well, we're going to cut you loose. I know you probably got to get to practice or rehab or something. So, but it's been great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.